We can do that. Hey, it's summer. You got to have some fun. I say that in the winter and the fall and the autumn, too, and spring, whatever else, because we're talking hockey. If you're not having fun talking hockey, what are you doing?
And if you're complaining about the music, go listen to a music channel and complain to them. This is not, we're not here for music.
Yeah, but it sets the mood for a segment, right? Because well, we're having Russ going on right now.
If you're overly complaining about it, not you as a host, like some of the listeners complain, why'd you play that song? Well, okay, it's 10 seconds, and then we start talking hockey.
Yeah, but you know, it's the summer again, and everything's magnified because there's no games. You can't bitch about your team losing and the third line not playing enough and this and that. And I do think as humans, we like to complain more than we do to congratulate or and that just makes sense. The crop's got to be done. The boat's going to sink. The fishermen are all going to die. You know, that kind of thing. It's just human nature to stay alive. Our next guest, Russ Cohen, understands all about that. The Summer Metro Report with Russ Cohen. How you doing, my sir? What do you got to complain about today, huh?
Good. No, nothing. And I actually saw those guys in concert. They're good. So I've got no complaints.
I did. I'm the one who wanted the music cut. So if that's your new theme, we can go with it. So the Summer Metro Report, all this past season with Steve Koulias, you did the Metro Report looking at the teams in the Metropolitan Division, which I still think is actually a great name for a division. I know some people say, what a silly name. And yes, I'm a guy who liked the names back in the 80s, the Norse and all that kind of stuff.
I
liked all that. But wiser minds, taller foreheads wanted to go with something that the non-fan could understand. And again, it's like complaining about the music coming into to a segment. It's all window dressing to me. If you could change the names of the divisions, would you, or are you just keeping the same?
I'd go back to Patrick, but I'm okay with Metro. I don't think it's horrible, but I did sort of like the Patrick division, although I kind of wonder now if we went back to it, if the expectations would be now we're going to play hockey like we did then and start beating everybody up again.
Yes, like the Chuck Norris division, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's, before we get into much more light topics, Ray Emery passes away. It's a shock. I never met the man, but you feel like you know him, as Doug Honecker said last hour, because you follow these people's career. And so there's a connection there as hockey fans. And up here in Canada, that knocked every other news story off the top of the roster, because that's how hockey addled we are up here, and I have no problem with that. You want to talk about Ray Emery?
Yeah, he, like, when he became a Flyer, it was interesting because, you know, we all heard about the Ray Emery that existed in Ottawa, and sure, he was a young guy, a brash guy, and, you know, he'd fight everybody on the ice, and he would, you know, be a little reckless off the ice for sure, and that really stayed as a constant through his career, but for his time in Philly, he was really sort of a mature guy, a leader in the locker room. He got that really bad injury, that avascular necrosis, where basically, you know, your hip is wearing away,
yes.
And they had to they had to graft in a piece of his shin to get his career going again. Now, he only played like 29 games, then they shut him down, that happened. And it's usually career-ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way that injury had always been. And he fought his way back, and he played really well. And we all felt like we got to know him after that because we saw him a lot, right? We saw him practicing a lot. There was a lot of focus, like, hey, could he come back from this? And he did. And so I always thought of him as sort of like that boxer mentality. Like, that's what the guy had. He always liked to fight. He liked to box. He liked to sort of mix it up. You know, my dad's a big boxing fan, so I watched a lot of it over the course of my life, and I've covered some boxing. And so I think he had that sort of mentality as a goaltender, and I think that's what made him a little different, and I think that's what people gravitated to. And whether you agree with things he did or not, or liked it on the ice or not, he was interesting, and I think that's why he knocked everybody off the news cycle yesterday, unfortunately.
Yes, and as you know, up here in Canada, anything NHL, even when it's something as tragic and sad as that, will get attention. It just shows you the hold it has in this country. And, of course, hockey fans in the States do. You're part of the family. We get that. So that's the sad news. Life sometimes intercedes in things. Much lighter subjects. The Metropolitan Division is the home of the Stanley Cup champions. And we've seen a repeat champion recently, the last two seasons before with Pittsburgh, first time in almost 20 years when Detroit did it in the late 90s. But every time, Russ, we go in, every hockey publication will put the Stanley Cup contender as one of the contender, or the winner as one of the contenders. And that makes sense, even if you change your head coach and there's cosmetic changes. But we had Ben Raby on from the Washington Capitals broadcast, and he said, look, most of this team is coming back. Now, that's not always a good thing. In this case, they've got to be one of the contenders again coming out of a tough Metropolitan Division.
No, they are. They definitely are. I mean, they still have a great offense. They still have Braden Holtby. Reardon's been with them, so it's not like a huge coaching change, right? It's very familiar. If it was a totally different coach, I would say, all right, somebody with no ties, that might be different. So Brooks Orpik is the interesting part. We all think he's going back there, you know, through this interesting way of buying out somebody's buyout, lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So if he does and a few other things happen, I think they will be there. Now, not having Grubauer, I don't think that's a big deal. They have Ilya Samsonov. I expect him to be able to either carry the load as a backup, or they'll put him in the AHL. They'll bring up one of their other guys as the backup. I think they'll still be able to deal with that, and maybe Samsonov would come off like half season or something like that. I remember Varlamov did something similar in the minors. So I think they're good. I mean, they still have a lot of young players. Madison Bowie hasn't really broken through. That's another really good defenseman. I mean, Ross Mahoney's done a really good job with the amateur ranks there. And so that's why they always have guys like Varana. They always have guys that if they don't break through, they break through another year. And so, yeah, they definitely are a contender.
Is that how you say that dude's name, Samsonov? I want to get it right.
Samsonov, yes.
All right, I stand corrected, but that's what Russ Cohen does. He corrects my many, many errors. Love it. Okay, so the last place team in the Metropolitan, you know this, Russ, but a lot of people probably wouldn't know. It is the team that gets a lot of the oxygen. It's the New York Rangers with 77 points, and then the Islanders are next with 80, and we know all about their multitude of changes. Of those two teams, who will have the better season, you think, coming up?
I think the Rangers will have a better season because they have the better goaltender. I think at the end of the day, you could knock down, drag out, rebuild, do whatever you want in front of Henrik Lundqvist. But if he's still playing, he's still trying.
Yeah.
And he's the better goalie. He's better than anybody the Islanders have. No slight to Robin Leonard, whose dad actually coaches or used to coach Henrik Lundqvist when he was over in Sweden. I just think that's the way it's going to go. And it's interesting that they haven't traded Matt Zuccarello. And at the end of the season last year, I was in the locker room, and Zuccarello and Lundqvist were like, look, if we're coming back, we're trying to win. Now, obviously, they're not going to be a playoff team, but they are going to try and win, and I think they will have just a little bit more than the Islanders do post-Tavares, and DeHaan. I mean, those are two big losses that I don't think the Islanders can really recover from this year.
I haven't talked to you since the Tavares signing, and here I got so annoyed of it, I just had to shut off all hockey media. but that happens. Toronto is the New York City of Canada in the sense it takes up all the oxygen, too. Were you surprised? I mean, really, I wasn't surprised that he signed with Toronto.
No. No, I said on the live show that we did at the draft, I felt he was leaving. And I think I was the only one on the panel that said that. I have close ties to Long Island. I'm from there. So I even when I'm not covering the team, I keep a good eye on things. And I just felt like things were just slipping away. Even though Lou was there, I knew it was going to be a big task. So it had nothing to do with Lou.
Yeah.
Lou just tried to patch it up, and he couldn't. It had everything to do with the situation with the arenas, having to bounce from one to the other to the other. Yes, they had 20 games at the Coliseum this year, but that's still not enough. Like, this guy's in the middle of his career now and wants to win. And you could look at the Islanders and say, even with Tavares, how are they winning? Now, it's interesting because post-Tavares, now they're having a hard time bringing any names over there. And they're going to, I think, until they get the new arena. Or Matt Barzal turns into such a superstar that guys want to play with him. Because otherwise, they're in a sort of void right now. Like, you know, you heard Erik Karlsson say, I wouldn't want to sign there. So that's a tough spot to be in, and I think that's going to affect them greatly this year. I think they'll be in the Jack Hughes sweepstakes. I do.
Five teams from the Met made the playoffs last year. I don't know the five are going to make it this year, Russ, but I think the same thing happens. To me, the Atlantic are Tampa, Boston, and Toronto. It ends there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know if it ends there. I'm not sure.
Florida's better this year? Florida's better
Florida
team?
Is better.
Yeah.
If Roberto Luongo's doing yoga and he's... You know, a little less injury prone, I think they can make the playoffs. I mean, Mike Hoffman's a great addition.
Yes.
And so I think that could be the switch there, because I think four out of the Metro might be the answer this year. Because, look, what have the New Jersey Devils done to get better? Have they done anything?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, they were so, it seemed like Josh Harris, their owner, was so focused on getting LeBron James for the Sixers that it almost took off some focus on what was going on with the Devils. Ray Shiro made some moves, but they were very minor moves. Nothing, and now Devils fans have become accustomed to sort of waiting for a trade, right, like with Taylor Hall. But we see that teams that want to make trades have a hard time making trades. Ask Carolina. Jeff Skinner is still there, right? I mean, we all, and Justin Falk. I mean, we thought at this point one or both would be traded, and they're still there. So trades are not as easy to come by, and they did trade Hanifin, so they were able to do one. I look at it and I say, you know what? The Jersey Devils, unless somebody like Blake Spears catches fire or Michael McLeod or somebody like that, or two of them, because I'm not expecting the same kind of year out of Jesper Bratt, they could fall back to the pack. It wouldn't shock me.
Russ, good stuff. Talk to you again. Always appreciate you jumping on with us, sir.
Thanks, Mick.
Russ Cohen doing the Summer Metro Report.